One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
We're not forcing anybody to become queer. You can't. It's not a choice. We're creating and harboring safe spaces for queer people to feel comfortable and exist in.
I just want to live my life. That is all any queer person wants, just to exist and live their life and do what they want, as anyone would.
But there are other aspects to our character, and because you're focusing on that just one thing, you're actually putting us in a box. Like, we're not putting ourselves in a box.
Hey everyone, it is me, Trevor. I'm here. You may have seen me here before. You may see me other places like Smosh, Mythical Kitchen. I am not a queer streamer, despite what many people think or thought. But today I'm joined by three queer streamers. Say hello, wave, do what you will. So let's introduce ourselves.
My name is Austin Sho. I'm mostly known throughout my career for being a show host, but more recently, a podcast host alongside my friends Hassan, Cutie Cinderella, and Will Neff on the Fear Ann podcast.
Hi, I'm Blizz. I'm a content creator. I've been doing content for about 4 years now. I focus mostly on doing true crime and playing a lot of farming simulator games and things that just make me happy personally. But I love crime and murder.
Hi, my name is Alistair. I go by Eris Online. Generally variety streamer, but I used to be known for mainly playing Minecraft. But now I'm doing more stuff that's informative space. I just want to show you cool stuff.
When I met Trevor, I was like, oh, this is a queer streamer.
It's okay. It's the fashion. Yeah. It's like how he's dressed.
And it's kind of a shame that that's the way that we...
Well, it's...
You and everyone else that I went to high school with.
We see straight men that know how to dress, and we're like, oh, they're queer.
You're not queer?
No. No.
See? It's the voice. It's the voice.
Is it?
It's the voice and outfit, maybe.
Yeah.
I personally think you are wasting... Right now, wasting.
You have potential.
You have potential. And
thank you. Well, I appreciate
Trevor,
that.
Trevor, you are so queer-coded. You are so queer-coded that I literally met you. I met your girlfriend, which, I mean, obviously you could still be queer. But I met you again today, and I was like, I don't remember if he's queer. Like, I thought again maybe.
Is your girlfriend bisexual?
No.
Really?
No.
So you don't have bi-wife energy or anything like that?
You're giving bi-wife energy.
Yeah.
This is actually all three of their assumptions about me. So
thank you for challenging the stereotype. Thank you so much.
So let's get into it. This first one, people assume that it's harder to explore gender or sexuality in the public eye.
I'm gonna say on that one. For me, I had to, you know, I was working out a lot of my stuff. You know, ideally, I would be working it out privately, but doing it all in front of an audience of, you know, tens of thousands of people is terrifying. And then they, at the same time, they expect you to be expert on everything that I'm currently trying to work out for myself.
I feel like there's like a rule book on how to be
a certain like sexuality or gender on the online space. And if like we don't follow it, it's, I don't know, people are just upset because we don't fit their idea of. I hate it so much because I want to just like kind of learn about myself more without having to fit those check marks for them.
I feel like you could almost interpret this in another way in which like you discovering yourself and having an audience, there's a lot of pressure to sort of fit into a box. But then also actually exploring and meeting people. Mm-hmm. Being a public figure, I found meeting people, it's like sometimes a minefield. I don't want to meet somebody that knows me from the internet because I feel like it just creates a weird dynamic.
Oh, it's the first impression is already ruined for you.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
like they just assume you are who you are on the internet.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I want to get to know you and
yeah.
at the same time as you're getting
exactly.
to know
me. I think obviously non-queer content creators probably deal with this to some extent, but
of
I
course.
Think that it's uniquely disproportionately dealt with, I think, amongst queer creators because of how small our community is across. You don't realize it until you get out there. And you start realizing, like, I mean, you don't have to be, like, the most famous person ever to, like, run into a lot. Like, you go to a gay bar or whatever, you run into, like, so many people. And, like, how the hell, like, on our little corner of the internet, people, you know, it's a lot smaller than you think.
Not to bring it back around to myself, but I guess before, just what we were talking about earlier about how, you know, a lot of people online and also all three of you assume that I'm queer. Did you ever feel like before you came out, there was almost a pressure to figure yourself out faster based on assumptions that people had where they're like, are you, you know, queer? And you might not have like quite figured out how you wanted to go about coming out or quite figured out, you know, what that meant to you, but you had to get something out because of what people were saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's because especially with, you know, gender stuff, I'm genderqueer, gender fluid. I feel with gender stuff in particular, because so much of gender is presentation. People are going, are you trans? Are you non-binary? Are you some other gender non-conforming whatever? And then they expect you to fit into that label. The most important lesson that I learned is that labels don't really matter. And you've just got to be as comfortable as you can be in your skin. And labels come second because labels are what other people use to describe you, not how you should define yourself. And that can be a lesson that a lot of people take a long, long time. It took me a long time to work out for myself.
Yeah, I have like a weird relationship when it comes to labels, especially being someone on the internet, because I understand that labels are, it's what people perceive of you or what people want to say about you. But at the same time, if you do fall under that label, you are now like representing that label. So like I started as a bisexual streamer on Twitch immediately, but then came out as aromantic like I want to say a year ago, and still like trying to understand what aromanticism is. And I ran into an issue where people wanted me to know everything about myself right when I came out in that moment. And I'm like, no. So this was a new discovery about myself. And I'm now taking the time needed in order to fully understand that. It felt comfortable having that label because there were other people in my community who also felt aromantic and now saw themselves in content and saw themselves in media. And I'm like, great, this is what I wanted. But also at the same time, I don't really like labels as much either.
Absolutely.
Like I just kind of want to live my life and just be a human at this point. Yeah. So
when I first came out, I came out as bisexual. And a lot of people immediately were like, you're gay. And you know what?
You're not fooling us.
Austin, how many times do you get hate crimed?
Yeah. But they were right. I mean, unfortunately. they were right. And the reason I came out as bisexual is I wasn't sure. I had some experiences with women. It had been a long time. Mm-hmm. But I was like, maybe the door's open. Maybe one day I'll get that experience again. It hasn't happened since. And I do feel comfortable, you know, labeling myself as a gay man, but at the same time, I also agree with you. Labels suck. They don't. Sexuality is very complex.
Labels, in particular, are something a lot of people they go, "I need to define myself as this because there is a community this exists and it gives me a place of belonging. There are other people like me, but I think that forces a lot of people to try and work themselves out and put themselves into boxes.
There's like so much pressure and like deadlines on you having to understand who you are because you are saying that I fit into that label. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Certain expectations, like if I'm this, I need to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
But understanding that the world is not labels, it's much more
a spectrum of things and that you can be multiple things, and labeling is only really something you need to do when someone says, what are you? And you are perfectly fine to just say, I don't know, or I think I'm just queer, genderqueer, not cis, not straight. You don't need to say, I am bisexual, and then just list every part of your personality.
I'm just a little guy. That's, that's all I'm doing.
There's an assumption that streamers don't know what POG even means.
Passion fruit, orange, guava.
My favorite smoothie.
I just know from the email, emote. Just yeah.
Isn't it play of the game?
No.
It's not?
I actually know the full etymology. So it comes from the passion fruit orange guava drink. And inside those drinks, they had pogs, which were like little things.
Yes.
I don't know. They didn't exist in the UK. And there was this one guy who was the pog champion, and he became an emote on Twitch. There you go. That's what pog is.
That's pog.
Okay.
It comes from a juice.
I had no idea. So that assumption is mostly true. I don't know how Aaron knew.
I'm chronically online.
Yeah.
You're all streamers, but I think that you'll have some fun insight to this. People assume that the time for coming out videos is past and they're now considered cringy.
Coming out is something that I am hoping is moving towards the past. My sister, for example, she's like younger than me, but she's bi. She never felt the need to go, hello, everyone, I am queer. She was just like, yeah, I am. And that's it. It's not like this is going to tear this family apart. This is going to change everything about who I am.
I hope that becomes more of the case. To the assumption though that it's cringe. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think everybody has like their own
journey.
Need and journey to come out and make a video if that's the way that they feel like they're getting the relief to sort of set. Tell everybody.
I just assume everyone's queer until told. that's my default at that point. But like, I agree, because like, you are your own narrator and your own story and stuff. So if you do want to make a video or an announcement that you are coming out or that you're queer in any way, that's up to you.
Yep.
But I definitely wouldn't say that's cringe. Like, I'm your own life. Do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
I'm just going to back up.
Because coming out is for me, it was a very holy shit, it was such a liberating experience.
Yeah.
And I felt like, oh my God, I can scream it, because, there's so many years in which you're holding it down and lying to people and telling, different stories. So it felt great to just tell everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel there's also a lot of strength and positive representation that comes with being able to publicly say, hey, I'm queer in some flavor, because there are a lot of environments in this country and around the world where it is literally against the law to be or present LGBT. So just being able to see someone like us on the internet go, hey, it's okay to exist. That, I know, means the world to thousands of people.
People assume that your content only appeals to a queer audience.
I mean, no. No, that's silly. No, that's silly. I can speak, first of all, no across the board for this entire table. But I've personally been creating content for a while. My shows, I've done literally dating shows that have straight people dating.
Name Your Price, the gayest show on the internet.
It's not Gay Your Price, it's Name Your Price.
I thought you were going to be like, name every straight person you know. And I was like, oh, hold on. Oh yeah, you know straight people? Name them. Okay. Yeah.
Now I do some queer-centric things, like shows rather. But I think those appeal to a ton of people. Yeah. Just because we're queer doesn't mean that those wouldn't appeal to people that aren't,
Absolutely. Like, being queer is just a part of who I am. I feel there's a lot of almost external pressure to go, you're queer, therefore you only cater to other queers. But I'm just a person. For example, I love space. I love geography. I love showing people all those sorts of things. But I'm not going around saying, gay in space or queer in whatever. It's just like, space is cool. Let me show you cool stuff rather than
showing them gay space.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I really would show them gay space. I'm like, this is where the gay is in space. It's so funny. I feel like my content can be for queer people. It can be for straight people. It just depends on the day or what I'm doing or like how you perceive me at the end of the day. I feel like a lot of the times For me personally, I get told that I push a gay agenda constantly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how? I'm talking about true crime right now. Yeah. I'm talking about, hey, maybe don't drink and drive. Mm-hmm. That's pushing a gay agenda. Yes. Okay.
That's gay to not drink
and drive. But I get that a lot more. And it's like, well, I'm just comfortable in my own identity. And also my channel is my own space at the end of the day. Yeah. So I'm allowed to do whatever I want. But also like I made sure I have straight people in my chat because I asked, hey, are there any straighties in here? And I just one in chat, if we got straighties in here, and I do, and they really appreciate me.
See?
So your logic is wrong.
Yeah.
That kind of leads into another assumption, is that queer streamers are always pushing an agenda.
I don't think we're organized enough to.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be real.
That's the thing which I keep on hearing, is the queer agenda. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm just existing. I just want to live my life. That is all any queer person wants, is just to exist and live their life and do what they want, as anyone would.
There's no agenda, right? There's no agenda. We're not forcing anybody to become queer. You can't. It's not a choice, right? These are things that people just are. We're not pushing an agenda. In fact, we're creating and harboring safe spaces for queer people to feel comfortable and exist in, right? These people already exist the way they are.
Yeah.
Right? We're not making them be who they are.
They're actually both lying. We have weekly meetings. Yeah.
Okay. Talk about the gay.
How can we spread the gay? But no, I agree. I feel like it's not really pushing a queer agenda. It's just you're watching someone live comfortably within their own identity and their own character. Mm-hmm. And
it's like if you saw like the royal wedding on TV, you go, that's the straight agenda. Yeah. They're trying to make us all straight.
It is interesting how it seems like when people say the queer agenda, it's just queer people, wanting to exist.
Exactly.
It's just living. Yeah, that's it's what living. It is.
Austin, people assume that you're never beating the selfish top allegation.
That's so funny. This selfish top, first and foremost, we are entertainment personalities. And a lot of in being an entertainment personality, a lot of memes get started and narratives get started. This particular selfish top narrative got started by my good friend, Hassan Piker. Hassan started this. I don't know why he started this. But look, if I'm being real, I mean, real and serious, which we've been serious this entire time. Okay. People can think what they want. But without getting too deep into like my sex life per se, one of the defining things for me is that my partner, whoever I'm with, is experiencing pleasure, and if they're not, or I'm not doing something that they like, it's a turnoff for me. I'm like shut down. If you don't like me, if you're not into it, it's a turnoff. So I think that inherently that makes me not selfish. You know, like I said, I don't want to go into too much detail here. I want to keep it appropriate.
I think you beat the allegations with that one.
I don't know. But people are going to choose to believe what they want. Yeah. I do think it's kind of funny.
It's a good bit.
It's a good bit. That Austin's a selfish top. But if we're being honest, it's not true.
I mean, one assumption I've heard about you is that you fly twinks specifically out to LA.
Okay, so
on economy.
In economy.
On economy. In economy.
Oh, okay. So this is another thing. Hassan is the root of all my evil. So this is how this actually happened. This is how this meme, it is a meme. First of all, it's not true because everybody thinks that like I'm like flying twinks from all around the globe. And I get DMs like I'm a fucking airline from people. Yeah. They're like,
but did they ask like, can you fly me out to LA?
Yes, all the time. People, can you fly me out? Can I be next to be flown out?
Wait.
First of all, I want to come out and say, hold on, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, could I see a chart of the carbon emissions coming from Taylor Swift and then coming from Austin?
Okay, hold on. The assumption is not, I fly a lot. Okay. So maybe that, I don't talk about my dating life, my romantic life. Mm-hmm. But there was one time in which I flew somebody out to see me in LA, but I had met them previously and we had met up. We had gone on like a couple of dates and then like this was like the next step. And then I flew them out and I happened to fly them coach. And I was telling Hassan about this. And so
your first mistake.
Yes, I know. Exactly. I was telling Hassan about this. And then Hassan goes on the podcast, I heard you're flying your bussy economy. And then Will goes up like he draws a comparison to like FedEx. And then like next thing you know, like this meme is born that Austin's like flying twinks out. First of all,
It's not true. The one time that I flew somebody out, it was somebody that I knew and I had met, but it's not like I don't meet people and then just ship them into wherever.
You're
I'm
express
at.
Shipping twinks to your.
No, yeah, I'm not.
It's like when you're on like Tinder and you can just extend the range to like thousands of miles. Yeah, I want you.
This is certainly not true. For the record, I'm not an airline. Okay, and I'm not shipping twinks around the world, okay?
I would trust
Austin. It's a missed
Austin
opportunity.
Airline.
Yes, I know.
I trust Austin Airline more than Southwest.
Thank you. That's so sweet of you.
Blizz, people assume that there is no toxicity in cozy streaming culture.
Oh my God, there is. Oh God, I hate cozy streamers. Okay, hold on.
There's toxicity in cozy streaming. It personally feels like, and this might be the religious trauma talking, it feels like it's toxic positivity. Like you cannot be sad or have off days, or you have to be 100%.
What's an example of toxic positivity?
Church. So church is a great example of that. It's everyone pretending like their life is perfect in front of God. That is what it is. And a lot of times streamers will have you have to be 100% happy, 100% positive all the time. And realistically, that is not possible for me. I can, like, I'll show up to stream at 60%. Yeah. Be like, hi, I'm streaming today because I want to. And honestly, having an off day, but like, let's vibe, let's do what we need to do. But if there's like someone who's pretending to be 100% all the time, that's not fun. I don't know. I feel like that's very tiring because that's faking it basically. Mm-hmm. And you can do that for your community, but at the same time, they're going to be able to see that. And that's why, like, I love cozy streamers. I don't hate them. It's just more of like, I want that realness when it comes to content. Like, I don't want to feel like you are faking it for the camera because you feel like you need to because you don't have to.
All right, Aerith, this last one is for you. People assume that you're over the strawberry dress lore and that you wish your audience can see that your style has evolved.
You have great style, by the way.
Thank you.
Amazing style.
That goes all the way back to back in 2020, I wore a dress. I called the strawberry dress for the first time. And it's the first time I wore a dress publicly. And the strawberry dress in particular was a very powerful dress because it showed that it was a beautiful piece of clothing that anyone from any background, gender presentation, body type, anything, they could all wear this dress and look great. But yeah, it's been 4 years. I've changed a lot as a person. Like, I still own the dress, of course, but people evolve. And that's actually something which I worked out with, you know, working on my gender and all that. I felt that I needed to compensate for my masculinity with, you know, getting rid of a lot of masculinity and putting femininity in its place. But I'm very comfortable with a lot of my masculinity. I'm comfortable with my voice. I'm comfortable with my height. I'm comfortable with, like, my arm hair and muscles, all that. And that's a lot that's specifically, like, trans women that want to get rid of all of that. I don't feel like I need to do performative femininity in much of the same way because I found that I'm much more comfortable presenting more like this, cargo pants, Doc Martens.
Gay.
I can just exist and be comfortable without having to go, oh no, would a woman wear this? Like, I can just be. I can wear what I want and I can be who I want.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Another one here is people assume that being queer is your only personality trait.
There's a lot that happens there because it's you coming to look at me and that's the first thing you noticed, which is very telling on you because there's other aspects of someone's character. Like, it's not just gay, but like, I have other hobbies. I have other things that I'm excited about. Like, I mean, you talking about like geography and stuff like that, which is hilarious because I'm a biochemist and I don't know maps. I don't know where the state of Ohio is. So that's great. But there are other aspects to our character and
because you're focusing on that just one thing, you're actually putting us in a box. Like, we're not putting ourselves in the box.
It is interesting if you substitute any other word for queer or gay in that sentence, it just sounds crazy. If someone said, oh, your content only appeals to a cooking audience, like, no, everyone loves cooking videos. Yeah. Oh, being a chef is your only personality trait? Like, no, that's insane. No one would ever say that.
That's something which I feel, when people say being queer is, one of your only personality traits, it's almost like, I don't want you to talk about being queer. I don't want to see you making being queer, part of your content. I am queer. I'm allowed to talk about it. I'm allowed to make jokes about it. It's not my whole thing, but it is part of who I am. Mm-hmm.
People assume Twitch culture is hostile to queer people.
It depends on what part of Twitch you're on.
Yeah, yeah.
League of Legends, Valorant. Well,
yeah. In spaces, there's significant portions of audiences that are very hostile to queer culture. I'm fortunate enough to not be in those communities. I think early on in my career, there was a lot more of it in my corner of Twitch in the internet, but it just depends on where you are. But that is certainly true. If you're existing in certain spaces.
Yeah, I was going to say for me, I'm mostly, I started in the Stardew Valley community. So I was fine. Gay people loved me. But if you look into League of Legends, that definitely being one of them, or even Call of Duty community and stuff like that, the rampant homophobia that's happening there, rampant just bigotry that's happening there, in those games and in those communities, you see it is a little hostile, or people just saying you would never survive in a COD lobby or something like that. And I'm like, I grew up in COD lobbies in Halo, yeah. So mm-hmm. I'm fine.
The reason I was first, started outwardly saying, hey, I'm LGBT, even when I was still working myself out, was because I had a streamer friend and trans girl who was like, I think I'm going to have to take the LGBT tag off my streams because I keep getting harassed. And I was like, I can take that bullying and I can maybe turn it into content in a way and, turn that stuff around. So I started putting the LGBT tag on my stream. It was because of, that being negativity, but then being able to turn that negativity around to positivity, into a joke, and making these transphobic, homophobic people, the butt of the joke rather than someone who you go, they're evil, ban them, but making fun of them more, I feel that's a good way to take their power away.
I agree so, so much on that one. I live out of spite. So knowing that I wake up in the morning and I can get on a camera and say gay and it gets under someone's skin, that's amazing for me.
It is kind of a big fuck you.
It is. Exactly. It's very powerful knowing that I can just do one thing and get completely under your skin and intimidate you. And I'm cool. So live out of spite, everyone.
Yeah. Just by existing.
Just by existing.
I feel like that's why a lot of we're very loud and proud. I think it is kind of a big fuck you to mm-hmm. the, at least that's the way I feel. Yeah. It's a big fuck you to what people, think of us.
Kind of in the same vein, there's an assumption that you don't receive the same opportunities as your straight streaming peers.
I'm going to kind of jump in on this one. And I'd be like, sometimes I get more opportunities than them. And I'm totally fine with that because being a marginalized person, I would love more opportunities because it is kind of hard for you to grow on certain platforms, being queer, or being a person of color. So I'm totally fine with it. But I don't know. I don't know based on y'all's.
I personally don't feel like I get less opportunities than my.
Yeah.
But also I'm a pretty heteronormative looking queer person. You know what I mean? And I think that with that comes a lot of privilege. And so I don't think my personal experience may be as it'd be the same across the entire community. But certainly there are some more opportunities that come with that as well. I mean, especially during Pride Month, I'm sure there's a lot of, corporations that want to, pander. So,
Hey, we have a rainbow logo now. Yeah, right.
Rainbow caps. Yeah.
Chatters assume that streamers hold all of the queer and trans knowledge in the world and almost, kind of expect you to know everything.
Back in 2020, I was a part of the Dream SMP and I had a lot of young audience members at the time. And at the time I was working on my own identity. I was still learning about the LGBT community, but I had so many people in my chat who were proudly saying, hi, I think I'm bisexual, or hi, I think I'm non-binary. And I'm like, great, amazing, awesome. There comes a lot of responsibility with people who are trying to work out who they are, and with me or us being some of the only representation they might see, they kind of don't know who else to go to ask about these things. And so I've had to get very good at directing them to sources that are way better informed than I am.
I certainly can give people advice based on my own experience, but everybody is sort of on a unique journey themselves. So, you know, if I can share my experience and then people find my experience to be relatable to their situation, that's great. But I don't know, like, I couldn't come from a place like with somebody like that maybe has a family that's not accepting of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Or somebody that came from like a super religious background. I didn't have that experience, and I don't know how to navigate that. I really don't know what the answer is, you know? And obviously I can empathize with somebody in a situation like that, but yeah, we don't know at all.
Absolutely.
But we, you know, I'd say that just, you know, be yourself, you know, that you can kind of encourage them to, you know, be who you are, and you're having a normal human experience. Those are the things that I kind of tell people if I don't really know what to say.
What I like to say is, like, there is no universal answer to coming out. Like, everyone's experience is a different flavor or a different font. And, like, you have to navigate the best that you can with what you have. But, like, if you are someone who is coming out or want to come out or anything like that, make sure you have, like, something that is a safe area for you afterwards if you do. Mm-hmm. Well, that can be like a place that you can go, or that can be like friends that you can reside in or talk to afterwards, just to make sure that you are safe, because coming out can be a scary thing.
Yeah, there's been a lot of strength in me being able to build my community and specifically make sure that people understand that it is a safe place to exist and be queer, even if you can't do so in real life. I mean, when it comes back to, you know, being an expert on LGBT stuff, coming out, way back before I, you know, blew up and everything back in 2020, I had one instance where one person came into my chat who was like, should I come out? And at the time I was like, why not? I come out and it was fine for me. And they came back a couple days later and saying, I did it, and it didn't go well. And ever since then, I'm like, I'm going to make sure that I don't assume everyone's situation is like mine. I'm going to make sure that they get the best information that I can give them, because I am not an expert. I would love to be an expert, but I am not an expert. There are people whose jobs it literally is to take care of queer people, and I should direct my audience to those people who know what they're talking about and can be more one-on-one, like therapy, for example, rather than just going, you should do this, because I don't know. I don't know that life.
Yeah, that's fair. Also, I don't want you to like beat yourself up about that either, because you did the best with the resources you have, yeah, which is like really important there.
But it was
like
4 years ago, I beat also, myself
up. It's like, but also like now you know, and that's another example of like, that was something that you weren't aware of, but like afterwards you learned and you became a better person, however you want to classify it. So, absolutely. Hell yeah.
People assume that you aren't happy with queer representation in media and on Twitch. Do you feel like there could be more, or do you feel like the representation that there is isn't really indicative of the things that you should be, that should be represented in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that I've not had a problem with what Twitch has done with queer representation to this point for me personally. I've actually wanted to be included in more myself, but, you know, but that's not, I don't think, indicative of an issue that I've had with them at all.
I started streaming in 2020, I think. And the main reason I did start streaming was because I didn't see a lot of queer representation or a lot of just like black streamers out there. Mm. So I get that, where I was like, yeah, I want more representation out there. And I would agree, I was upset because I didn't see myself, or I didn't see myself in the content, until I joined as a streamer. And then I started finding a bunch of like just queer, like black individuals. And I was like, oh, this makes sense. It's just, they weren't really pushed to the forefront for like on the platform.
And as we are getting into like 2024, I will say like Twitch is kind of doing a better job at pushing these creators to the forefront and making sure that they are highlighted and uplifted in the best way possible. So I feel like very positive about the future moving forward in terms of like representation in media, because it's seeming to be more normalized, even though it should have been in the first place, but yep. It seems more normal.
All right, let's get into just some more streamer-focused assumptions here. There's an assumption that you don't have any real friends, just mutuals and collaborators.
I don't. And what about it? No.
There are people that in this space that are we collaborate with, but it's not like, oh, I hate them, I'm just going to collaborate with them. Sometimes you're just not buddy-buddy with everybody, yeah. And you collaborate, and it's fine. And you're acquaintances, and that's totally okay. A lot of people do this in their professional life. They have their work friends and such. But there's many of the people that I collaborate with are great friends of mine. And we do things outside of streaming, and we go to each other's birthday parties, birthday dinners, weddings, and all sorts of stuff. So I think that it's partly true. Some people are just collaborators, but partly false in the sense that I have great relationships, great friendships. Some of my best friends exist in this space.
Being friends with streamers, we already have a lot in common. We do the same job.
You don't have to explain anything.
We've got, you know, just not always set schedules or mm-hmm. around our streaming. And I feel particularly with streaming, it creates a very parasocial environment, especially for the viewer, where it's all live. It feels like you're there. And you feel like a lot of the relationships and stuff that you see on stream, oh, those have to be really strong off the screen as well. Sometimes I just talk to people on stream or I'm part of an event or something, and then I almost never talk to that person again.
Yeah, connection often that you see on screen, whether that carries out off screen, I think it's a genuine organic connection.
Yeah, I agree.
Most of the time. I mean, it's hard for me to fake an organic connection with somebody on screen. You know, it's either working or it's not.
Austin, is this working?
This is working.
Okay.
This is organic. I'm not faking this.
People assume that you won't have any real life skills after streaming ends.
That's not true. I mean, like I've got a bachelor's degree. I think that streaming, you know, you develop a lot of skills that would carry well into the traditional world, such as management, producing, you know, you learn a lot about, you know, accounting, all different facets of business. You learn about being a streamer because it is a business at the end of the day. I can speak for myself personally. Like, I've got a passion for aviation. So if this thing ended tomorrow, I'd probably take a year and go get my commercial pilot's license and become a commercial airline pilot. These are skills that I've picked up, you know, over the course of my life to this point. So no, I disagree with that.
Before I was a streamer, I got into university to study astrophysics, and then eventually I was doing content creation. I was able to drop out of doing an international relations degree. I'm not sure where those routes would have gone, but I know what I'm able to do with this platform and the skills I've learned doing this that has taken me a lot further than that degree ever would have.
There's a lot of different things within being a content creator that is very like palpable or very needed in the real world anyways. So like, I feel like you'll be fine first and foremost. I mean, I also have a degree, biochemist. I was gonna be a doctor. Yeah. What happened? What happened? Now I'm gay on the internet. Okay.
Doctor to gay on the internet pipeline, classic case.
Don't get a degree, you're gonna be gay on the internet. It's not worth it, I promise.
This might be a Nicole assumption here because I saw this being edited, but Nicole assumes that all streamers know these days is stare at screen, be bisexual, leave chair empty, and steal content.
Wow.
Damn, way to call
that is. Yeah, that's my brand. That's weird. Yes.
You got me.
You got me.
Shit, yeah, that's true. I don't stream them. I don't even know how I got here, to be honest with you.
Sorry, I walked in and I saw Austin here and I was
queer streamer.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Mm, interesting. My first stream of the year was a pro-life rally.
Oh, God.
I didn't stream it, but somebody, whatever, like, production company had used my, because I did Name Your Price Live, and it was like a tour, and somebody who had worked, been contracted by that production
stole
company,
your stream key?
Their next gig
was a
pro-life rally.
not the production company, but like a person, a contractor that worked. Their next gig was like their laptop was being used at Mike Pence's pro-life rally. So my first stream of the year was a pro-life rally. So imagine.
Oh my God.
Imagine that. Yeah. So that was one of my streams this year.
That's iconic.
Yeah.
No, queer streamers. Give it up. No, everybody. Queer streamers.
People. And you know, for the record, I am pro-choice. Just in case anybody was wondering.
Being hot and having ADHD are prerequisite to their craft.
Why is everyone coming after?
Being pulled out.
What is going on?
I definitely have ADHD.
Yeah, I've got.
I don't know how I'm focused.
Chronic ADHD. Yeah.
Well, and you're all hot, so.
Well, thank you. I'll take that.
You're trying to make friends right now, and it's not working.
Why is it working? What did I do?
I'll say this. Put the hot aside for a minute. I think ADHD. ADHD, I think, is a very, I think it's a gift for a lot of creative people because I think that, you know, being in front of an audience, specifically a live audience, you got to be quick. Mm-hmm. And I think that the way that ADHD brains work, the neurons are firing to multiple different places. And I think it allows our brains to engage in conversations like this and build off of one another. And, you know, in places in which it would be like the classroom, where it would be a deterrent, like, you know, a negative thing like the classroom or a lot of professional environments in a creative space, I think it's a huge advantage.
I think ADHD, it's, you know, a strength in some ways. I don't have the hyperactive part. It's more just the attention deficit. So it comes more of a downside with ADHD when it comes to the me having to be my own boss side of everything. I'm the only one holding myself accountable in order to do projects, respond to emails, organize my calendar. Just there's a whole bunch of stuff that I need to be doing that my ADHD and what's it called? Executive dysfunction really does make it harder for me to do what I need to do in the allotted time. And it's been a struggle my whole life.
Well, that is it for the assumptions. We are going to finish off with a game, but I hope you all feel dissected, picked apart, studied. all right, we're going to make a tier list.
A tier list?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Make a tier list. You're going to put all of your brains together, we are going to go through all of the top stream games on Twitch, and you are going to rank them by how queer-coded they are.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to go
Salty Valley 1.
First one we're going to do, S tier to F tier, Minecraft.
The community is pretty queer.
Yeah.
I feel comfortable putting it in an A because I feel like...
I think A is pretty solid.
Yeah. I feel like it's very... the community is very queer.
But are we doing...
The game itself or the community? Yeah. Because the game is just Minecraft. Sure. It's not like a lot of gaycraft.
But there's something about it that attracts a queer audience.
I think it just attracts a bit of everyone.
Yeah, it's true.
I think it's a pretty... like, in terms of being a queer game, I think it's a B.
Okay.
But I think a lot of the community is LGBT because it's just a comfortable, it's not a competitive, you can just exist. You don't need to be like, I am the best. Of course, some people do.
I don't know what games it's up against. Like, if Storming the Capitol Simulator is on or something like that, then we might need to move it up. But I think we can settle with B if you're okay with that.
I think there's like something gay about building a little dirt house.
Oh.
And I don't know. So, like, I'm comfortable with B right now.
I'm comfortable with B. I can go either way between B or A, but let's see what we got. Are we allowed to move them?
I suspect that you might want to move that one looking at the list of top streaming games.
So Storming the Capitol Simulator is up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, Storming the Capitol Simulator is next because it's Valorant.
Well, no, hold on. Because, again, are we talking about the game or the community? Valorant is pretty gay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games.
I don't know much about Valorant.
I don't know much about any games. I don't know why. I don't know how I got here.
So the only reason I say that, too, is because they've, like, solidified a non-binary character. They solidified a WLW relationship in there as well. So, like, there's gay things happening in Valorant. The community is just homophobic because it's a game with
like open comms.
All right, rank it.
I would say C, probably.
Yeah. I'll go with C. You know what? We need another assumption, is that Twitch streamers know what the fuck anything is about gaming. Yeah. I'm not a gamer. I've never been really a gamer. And, you know, I'm coming out, actually.
Not a gamer.
Not a gamer.
I have never, thank you.
How queer is Counter-Strike? Next.
That's F. I think it's F. Do they have gay people?
I think they just have terrorists and not terrorists.
When I walk into a room, I ask, how many gay people are here?
Wait. We need a queer Counter-Strike character.
We're putting Austin in Counter-Strike.
A queer CSGO skin.
Actually,
how about that?
Counter-Strike recently released female character models. In the year of our Lord 2024.
Oh, I bet they were obsessed about that.
Well, no,
they
made people pay for it. They made people pay for the female ones.
Okay.
And it was like,
is there an option below F? They don't even have queer representation.
You have to.
They don't even have female representation.
You have to pay for women.
Fortnite.
Fortnite's
I feel like
doing
it's like
great.
Asexual.
Yeah.
I feel like Fortnite's like asexual.
Fortnite just exists.
It's just like so many like young people that haven't even become a sexual being yet that play it. So I feel like it's just like asexual.
Yeah.
If we move Minecraft to A, Fortnite's B.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Let's do that.
Okay.
League of Legends.
I don't know enough about League other than anyone who I've told I don't play League. They're like, good, don't.
Yeah.
I know some queer
Congratulations.
People.
I know some queer people that play League.
I know some people with some big queer audiences that play League. Mm-hmm. I know like a lot of queer people that play League. Maybe that means it's gay or queer.
What do we put Valorant? C?
C, yeah. So I'm going to put League at D.
D.
Yeah.
Let's put it at D. I'm down with that.
Next one, pretty gay, Roblox.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of asexual, too.
I think that's the asexual area right there. Yeah. Still with Fortnite, because it's Roblox.
We're playing with blocks.
Yeah. There's so many
Fox
games
News
in Roblox that you can do whatever you want.
Fox News is going to love this. They're sexualizing blocks. They're indoctrinating your children, brother.
They actually have a Storm the Capitol simulator in
do
Roblox.
Do they really?
What?
I don't know if this is true, but honestly, it might be. I'll be honest,
that may be a game that we should collaborate on.
Yeah.
I think we should do Storm the Capitol Simulator. I think it would be a bestseller. I would play that. That's awesome.
I would too. That's the thing.
B for blocks.
Yeah, B for blocks.
GTA 5.
You can do a lot of gay
you
shit
can
in
do
GTA.
A lot.
I mean, you can do a lot of shit in GTA 5. It's very open.
I think the role player is like really upped it.
Yeah.
Gay.
You could have a lot of gay things happen in GTA, but I don't know how many gay things happen. I feel like there's a
You sound like someone who knows. That's why I'm like,
no,
you don't have to expose yourself like
No,
this.
I've never had any gay things happen.
Boston show, the straightest man.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm more likely to have a straight relationship in GTA, though, I feel like.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe I'm homophobic. I don't know how the fuck I got here. What's going on? Gosh, I don't know. What do you guys think?
So BC for GTA, like...
Sure.
I'll do B.
B works for me.
Elden Ring.
I don't even know. I've never played it.
I've never played Elden Ring. I want to, but...
I've got trans friends who play Elden Ring.
Mm. Okay. We're getting somewhere.
Wait, there's a lot of trans people that play Elden Ring.
Oh my god, S tier.
Why?
S tier. S tier?
You agree?
No, my girlfriend. She's...
Okay. What? See?
Maybe we need to put it in S tier.
I could phone a friend and go, is Elden Ring gay?
The first S tier game in the list, Elden Ring?
Yeah.
Sure.
Fuck it. Yeah.
Fuck it. Why not?
COD Warzone.
F tier.
Okay, we've got a new addition here at the end. Gay Simulator.
Gay Simulator.
I think F. As well. Hear me out. Who's making a gay simulator?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, what is that? That's a little problematic.
Yeah, that was made by a straight, I bet.
Who added this? Apparently, Gay Simulator is a top streamed game on Twitch.
Is it really? And I guarantee you it's not played by a lot of gay people.
It's played by people that are like, oh, gay.
It's gay.
Stardew Valley.
S. You can date anyone in that game.
Baldur's Gate 3.
Get S.
Yeah, surely.
That game is bisexual panic in a game. I love Baldur's
Gate. I killed a woman so a man would notice me in that game. So
I love that.
So
that's so empowering.
Sorry, Carl.
And misogynistic.
I'm not. Oh God.
You just start the sentence. I killed a woman. Like,
wait, does
what?
That cancel? Hold on. Does that cancel out the misogyny and the?
No, because you can be gay and also a misogynist.
Fuck.
You can be both Austin.
Well, I know you can. I was just joking. Right? Get the camera off.
We're going to cut that out.
Yeah, this next assumption is actually crazy. They assume that Trevor would love to have more friends than if any of you asked to hang out, he'd be super down.
I'm pretty busy. I'm pretty busy.
Yeah. Trevor, I'm traveling a lot, so.
You're like, maybe if you weren't straight.
I only hang out with queer people. Sorry.
Good luck, though.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.